Welcome to the BBC, a wax cast based on collaboration, not competition. Between both cheeks is a world filled with beauty, bums, and billions of bucks. The hosts of the BBC are Luba, the badass boss bitch, creator and owner of international brands and beauty salons. Becca,
once newbie and now experienced enforcer, she's hatched out of her egg and manages business with authority and a smile.
And Ashley, a straight, shooting, spicy Italian. Hot off the global circuit, she's got expertise to share. Welcome to the BBC.
Bring me your balls.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Hello, everybody. This is the BBC Between Both Cheeks. Yes, we mean those cheeks. Thank you for tuning in. You can follow us on Instagram at Between Both Cheeks and subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, iHeart, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite show. Today, I have Becca with me. How are you, Becca? And we're going to get into that in a second. And I am your host, Luba, just like Cher or Madonna, just Luba. We are without Ashley today because she is without internet.
Yeah, she's living in the dark ages.
Third world country back in Ontario.
Yeah, Ontario is a third world country with a Gucci belt lately.
It totally is. Totally.
All the
is.
Lockdowns they've been in.
Well, I was going to do your intro as the COVID kid.
The COVID kid. So yes, I have coronavirus. I'm not sure which variant. They didn't tell me that. And we are recording on May 13th, 2021. And as of midnight tonight, I'm allowed to leave my apartment.
It's tonight? I was going to ask. Okay.
Yes. They called me today and they let me know. The health officers or whoever it is, I don't know.
Ministry of Health.
So, yeah. So at 12:01, I can go grocery shopping if I want.
So where are you going to go?
I don't think I'll go out tonight. I think I'll wait for tomorrow, but I do live near like a party strip that does have a lot of 24-hour things. So In theory, if I really wanted to, I could go out and get a chocolate bar or something, or, you know, just say hi to someone at a grocery store that I don't know.
I just feel like you need to go out and do something like a celebration.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like sparkler.
Yeah, like a celebration for anything. It was like when I talked to my girlfriend Rosie a couple of weeks ago, I was like, she's like, how are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm not, like, I kind of feel somber. And she said, well, what's going on? I said, oh, it's my, like, my 1 year anniversary of my diagnosis or finding the lump, or like, it's all coming up now. And she's like, oh, darling, you need to stop that attitude and you need to celebrate everything. Mm-hmm. So with this, you got to celebrate.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'll go out and do something tonight then.
Something. Go get ice cream somewhere.
Yeah, there's a couple 24-hour places, so, but yeah.
So let's do some backtracking, because this is very, very interesting. So When did you find out?
So this is funny because I was listening to old episodes of our podcast and Ashley was saying like, oh my God, I'm so nervous to live in an apartment building right now. I'm so happy I have a house. Like, Becca, how do you feel about it? I was like, I feel fine. My apartment building is so good. And we talked about my mom's work having an outbreak, and lo and behold, now I have COVID. So I found out, I got my positive test result on May 4th, the Star Wars day. But I started getting sick on May 3rd. So I got my test result back like really quickly. Yeah. I don't know if that's because I was positive or not. But it was like less than 24 hours that I found out.
Well, and what was interesting, because I wanted to go backwards, you and I were together on May 1st.
Yeah.
Because we were doing the beauty show in Toronto for all of Canada, the ESI. And I remember, cause we had to be on it together, and you were like, oh, are we going to wear masks? And I was like, no, cause you're like in my bubble. Like, everything's fine. I've been vaccinated. You've been very careful. Like, everything should be fine.
Yeah.
And then I heard from you on Monday and you're like, I'm really not feeling well. I haven't been feeling all well all weekend. I thought maybe we drank too much after the show, thought it might be a bit of a hangover. And then you're like, and then I remember like talking to Jake about it, my fiance, cause he was here. Because he's obviously in my bubble, and and he was like, oh, she'll be fine, like she's just not feeling well. And I was like, yeah, like it can't be COVID, there's no way. And especially because your partner
Yeah.
Our new producer is so freaked out about it. So like not going anywhere, doing anything. So Jake's like, no, no, like everything will be fine. And then I woke up on Tuesday morning to a ding. Becca has tested positive for COVID-19. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. It was really surreal seeing that text message because I too, a hangover, plus I'd gone on a 13-kilometer bike ride. So I had like body aches and a headache and I just didn't feel that good. But I was like, oh, like it's probably a bit of the hangover plus going on a long bike ride. Like the two things combined, it's just wiped out my body. And then it just like 2 days later, it was still there. And I was like, I've never had a hangover last longer than a day. But I thought,
oh, to be in your 20s.
Yeah, I got a glimpse of what it's like. But I knew I was definitely sick at that point. I just didn't think it was COVID. I didn't have a cough. I don't think I had that much of a fever, if any. There was no respiratory symptoms, nothing like that. And so I was like, oh, I'm just sick, but I'll go and get a test just in case so that, you know, due diligence, be a good citizen, all that stuff. And then I woke up to a text message because you can sign up for texts from the government instead of a phone call. And said, Rebecca Lynn Hislop is positive. Please stay inside. Wait for us to call you and give you further instruction. I was like, oh my God, I have the thing everyone is trying to avoid.
So crazy. So what was that like in your household with your partner when you showed him that or told him?
It was surreal as well because he was also like, you don't have COVID, no way. And he's not necessarily freaked out by the virus. We're just trying to be more responsible and like buckle down. But we've definitely, you know, like broken the rules in the past and not been very careful. And just in the last like month and a half, you're like, okay, we're going to do even more than following the rules. Like we're really truly not going to see anybody outside of like work purposes and things like that. So he was like, oh, apparently I don't have good intuition for COVID.
So and crazy.
We separated as soon as I got my positive result. Like I was holed up in the bedroom and mm-hmm. she had the living space and he did all the cooking and brought me and because I didn't want to get him sick because you just don't know how it's going to affect someone. Like it is a gamble. Mm-hmm. I was pretty sick, but I was never worried that I'd have to go to the hospital and be put on a ventilator. You know, I didn't have like that, which that must be so scary if you do have it in your chest. So I was worried about Dylan, our new producer, and I was like, I don't want him to get sick because God forbid he gets more sick than I do. And, you know, it would just like, I'd be so full of guilt.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter because I was already living with him up until then and he ended up getting it as well. But he hardly got sick. So it's just so different for everybody. He's really like congested and nasally, but he's never like felt sick. Like,
okay.
Not super low energy, not like, oh, I need to go lay down or things like that. He said that the most he felt it was when he went to go get tested. We live really close to the clinic that does it. It's a 10-minute walk. And by the time he got there, he was like tired and out of breath and was like, oh shit, I probably have it.
Yeah.
He is up and like, at least in our area of Canada right now, they're not testing you unless you have symptoms. So that was a bit interesting to kind of get an insider view on how the government is navigating all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, Luba, were exposed to someone on their high contagious days that had COVID-19, myself, like we sat next to each other all day long,
mm-hmm.
and that you were in my window of when I was most contagious.
Yeah.
And you went to get tested and they turned you away.
Yeah.
With Dylan, who I live with. So you could be living with someone who has COVID and they still won't test you, which I thought was kind of strange, but I don't know what the test supply is like or if, you know, you could have the virus, but it's not built up enough in your body yet to show positive, or you could get a false positive or a false negative. And so it was interesting to get a glimpse into what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
It was just crazy.
Talk a little bit about, because I know you talked about Dylan walking to go get tested and he was winded, but talk about when you went to walk to get tested.
So I definitely got pretty hit with COVID. I got really sick for only like 2 or 3 days. It was really bad. And then it was just kind of like an annoying cold. But the first 2 to 3 days that I was sick, I had body aches, major fatigue, headaches. I was nauseous, like just felt like I wanted to puke the whole time, but never actually did. And so when I finally went to go get tested, because I was like, okay, this is not a hangover. This is not from just exercising really hard after not exercising for a year. Went to the same clinic. It's only a 10-minute walk away, so it's really quite close. And Dylan came with me, like, for moral support, and because we thought at that time he would be able to get tested as well at the same time. And by the time we got there, I had to, like, lay down on the sidewalk in the street because I was so, like, I felt like I was going to faint. I was dizzy. I was nauseous. I was so sweaty, like so sweaty. It was gross. And the nurse, she came out and she talks to you outside first to kind of evaluate whether or not you need to get tested because it's only for symptomatic people right now. So she was asking me like what my symptoms are, and I could like barely talk to her, and I'm like holding onto the wall of the building to try to keep myself up. And then she wants to see my ID to get my health information off of my driver's license. And like, if you do have respiratory symptoms with COVID, it's really not convenient because they ask you a lot of questions and you need to like verbally answer them. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not even like coughing. I'm just shortness of breath from small strenuous activity. And you're asking me all this information, like, girl, I can barely talk. Just stick the thing up my nose and get it on with. And it was kind of funny. She must see it a lot too with anxiety. So she was like, oh, I think it's just anxiety. Like, you must be scared about. And I was like, no, I'm not scared. Like, I'm not scared about getting tested. That is not a fear of mine. I just literally feel like I'm going to fall over. And then as soon as you say that, then like all the other medical personnel come in and they're like watching you like a hawk just in case they have to take you to the ER. That was a little bit scary because everyone is like, do we need to get an ambulance? Do we need to get you to the hospital? But the actual test itself was fine. It felt like wasabi up your nose. And it lasts for so long when it's in your nose. Then when you see videos of other people getting it done, it feels like it takes forever. And then after we got after I got tested, Dylan had to go and rent a car from like a car share service we have here in BC because I could not walk back home. So he went out to go find a car to pick me up and drive me back home. And I like sat on the sidewalk. And people were walking by and I must have looked so strange or like homeless. Yeah. Like, I was well dressed, so I don't think they'd think I was homeless. But I definitely did not look too hot. And, you know, the nurses are like inside peeking out, watching you, making sure you're okay. And one of them came out. I was like, I'm just waiting for him to go get a car because I don't think I can walk back home. Like, it's not anxiety. And then we got back home. And I had to lay down and I basically just like did not leave the bedroom for 3 days. I couldn't really stand up. I got lightheaded really easily. I had like the worst headache, not of my life, but it was really bad. I do get migraines. It wasn't quite like a migraine, but it was still like a really bad headache. And I'd have to have like cold cloths on my forehead and I was light sensitive. So I'm okay. I'm like recovering and I'm on the mend and my body definitely like did a good job, but I could totally see how for some people, you know, it lands them up in the hospital or kills people. And not just if you're like unhealthy already or have a pre-existing condition, like it really just is so different for everyone. Like had I been in that state for a couple more days, like I probably would have gone to the hospital because that's not normal, especially not when you're otherwise healthy and that's not your normal state of living. And it's a lot of work getting COVID because everyone wants to call you, whether it's like the government or doctors or clinical trials that are happening or just family and friends, like, where do you think you got it? What are your symptoms? How bad is it? I was like,
So do you think you know where you got it if you look back in the windows?
No, I have no clue. As far as I know, I was not around anyone who was sick. And if it is true that you can have it and be asymptomatic, maybe I got it from someone who was like that. If it is as contagious as they say it is, maybe it was just someone I walked past on the street, whether or not we had masks on or not, you know, you can still get it. It could be from my apartment building. It could be from like a takeout place, but I haven't really seen friends or family, and at work we're pretty good and distanced and nobody there was sick. It was just me. But I think if I had to guess, I would say it's from my apartment building because there are two other people in this building that I know of that were isolating around the same time. I don't know if it was because of COVID, but just because of the timing of it, that would be my best guess because, you know, maybe we touched the same elevator buttons. Maybe we walked past each other in the laundry room. People in my apartment building are pretty good about wearing masks, and I always do myself, and I sanitize like before and after. I sanitize my phone. Like I was really trying to be good about it, and I still got it. So, you know, just do the best you can, but try not to stress out too much because you could be following everything you should be doing to a T and still get it.
So it totally freaked me out. It totally freaked me out that someone in the company got it. Never mind like my director of operations and marketing that doesn't even have to deal with people really. Like, I mean, if we're dealing with people, it's over Zoom. But you're done an esthetician, you're not in the treatment room. So that was shocking to me. I thought if it was going to happen, it was going to happen in the States, not up here. Like it just blew my mind and kind of put me into a bit of a panic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we got pretty lucky. The days that I was contagious, I just so happened to be working from home anyways. So luckily I wasn't in the salon to get any of the other employees sick. But I could have been.
Yep.
Because I don't know how long it's in your body and you're spreading it before you yourself get sick, if you do get sick. But at least in Vancouver, what they're doing is they're contact tracing for the 2 days before your symptoms. So I was not at work in person for those 2 days. And they said everyone should be fine then. And to just self-monitor for symptoms, and no one else got sick. So I think, despite getting COVID and giving it to my partner who I live with, we did not infect anybody else that we're aware of.
Yeah.
So we did a pretty good job still with the social distancing and the masks and the sanitizing because no one in Luba's household got it. No one from Dylan's family, who we saw briefly one day that I was contagious, got it because we wore masks indoors. And I didn't see anybody else, really. So unless the Uber driver I took one day got it, then I didn't infect anyone. But the contact tracers, it's interesting what they care about and what they don't care about. Because I was shocked because I like have a pretty good idea of like where I was and what time frames and things like that. And if you go to a restaurant or you pick up takeout or you have an appointment somewhere, like they'll have record of who's in their business and when. So I thought like, oh, it'll be pretty easy for them to track down and, you know, see where I was. And I took an Uber one of the days I was contagious. I took like a car share thing where I drove a car. And the contact tracers didn't really care about those at all. They said, were you masked with the Uber driver? Did they have a mask on? I said, yes. Were the windows down? They were. That Uber driver in particular did not have like the front of the car and the back of the car separated like some of them do. So I thought, whoa, that poor little old man, he's going to get sick. But they said because the windows were down, the chance of transmission was low. But they didn't like ask for the time or the date so that they could contact Uber to let him know to like self-monitor for symptoms. They didn't care about me renting a car. I had a mask on inside, but I was still touching things, and I do my best to sanitize, but I'm probably not perfect. And I'd gone into different businesses to pick up like takeout or groceries, or I went on a patio one day before I knew I was sick, and they didn't really ask about those businesses or what time I was there at all, which I thought was strange. So I don't know. They're just doing their best, I think.
Yeah, I found that really interesting too, because Jake and I took our call together with the Ministry of Health. Mm-hmm. He tried calling me, and for whatever reason, it couldn't go through, probably because I'm on a US phone. And then the same number tried calling Jake, and we were right beside each other. So we were just like, hey, do you mind if my fiance's on it? Because I think you tried. Yeah, no problem. Did not care about me whatsoever because I've been vaccinated. They're just like, oh, you're good. You can go about your normal life. Like, just go ahead, do whatever you need to do. And I was like, but I live with someone who is not vaccinated yet. And they're like, yes. So he will have to self-isolate and self-monitor. And I was like, but this makes no sense, because from my understanding and my research, I can still carry and infect others and not have any symptoms because of the vaccine. But I was able to go out and do everything. Yeah. They did not ask. They asked, obviously they asked more Jake than me, but who were we exposed to, like, around us? So we talked about that, obviously, which is really weird, because you see those movies of people that like get like an STD and they have to like call people and let them know. And I'm like, oh my God, is this what it's like? Yeah. You need to go get tested. I've been exposed. but they didn't want to know about any businesses that we were in.
Yeah.
Cause I started to freak out because I went into the store on Tuesday to pack up orders. And I had heard from you later Tuesday. So I was like, oh my God. Now, thankfully I was, you know, in a room by myself. And masked completely, you know, throughout my entire visit there, and the girls are masked. So that was okay. But of course I went into like panic mode, like, oh my God, did I infect them? Like, do I need to call them? Mm-hmm. But the ministry was like, nope, nothing with you. You can go about your day-to-day life, but Jake cannot. So it was interesting, because I had a physio appointment that I was like, I'm just not comfortable showing up knowing that I've been exposed to someone. And even though the ministry is like, oh, you can do it, I just, like, it just didn't feel right. So I called them and they said, well, let us give you a call back. Let's just double check, I guess, with management. And they called back, they said, no, we'll totally see you, not a problem, you've been vaccinated, so it's totally fine. Okay. My trainer refused to see me.
Just different for everyone.
Right. Just completely different until I was kind of done my, I think he wanted me 10 days or no, how many days are you now?
I had to quarantine 10 days from the onset of symptoms.
Okay. So I can't remember how he wanted it a little bit longer. So that was interesting. So with obviously now Jake is like taking advantage, like, will you go pick this up? Will you go? I need some wood for the outside. I'm like, wood? You want me to pick up wood? I had to like pick up some like iron, like tubes or whatever they're called for the barbecue. I was like, I'm like inside the store FaceTiming him being like, is this what you need? Like, I don't know what this is. So I feel like he took a little advantage of that, but I've been there too. So
yeah,
that's fine. But yet, like, overall, it's kind of crazy. And I kind of feel, you know, maybe my friends that are like those conspiracy theorists that are like anti-maskers, and like, maybe there is like, I don't want to say a little bit to it, but I have a little more understanding of the questions that they asked, because it really wasn't clear on what we were supposed to do. It didn't really make sense. And like you were saying, Becca, like, as soon as we found out, I said, let's just jump in the car and go get tested. And they refused us both. You can come back if you have symptoms. And then of course, I mean, everyone knows this, right? I'm sitting there. I'm like, I think I have a headache. Oh my God. Do you think I have COVID? Cause I don't really feel well. So, and that was another reason that we decided to not tell the girls right away too. Cause I'm like, oh my God, they're going to be off this weekend being like, I'm sick. Mm-hmm. Right. So we're kind of like, we made a decision as a business to be like, we're going to wait We're going to see if anyone calls out, if anyone has any symptoms. And I know we sent an email saying to Vancouver, like, Becca may have been exposed to someone with COVID. So we, you know, just please be careful, do this, do that.
Monitor. And this is where you can get tested if you feel ill.
Yeah. But we already knew, but we just kind of wanted to be like, all right, let's put it out there. That's the advice that we were given, right? That we don't have to say anything. And they really didn't care about that. Knock on wood. Thank God everyone in Vancouver is totally fine. But like what a thing to navigate as managers and owners and how you deal with it. Like, I didn't think that we were going to have to deal with this.
Yeah. I took one for the team.
I
really leaned into my role as a leader.
Right.
Leading by example. But yeah. If I had come into contact with the staff while I was contagious and we did have any inkling that I could have passed it on, I think we would have handled it differently. But because there was high likelihood that I didn't pass it on to anyone at work anyways, because you do, like, as soon as you find out you've been exposed or around someone, you would start thinking, like, is that a tickle in my throat? Like, yeah. Dylan was doing it. He lives with me and he was still like, do I feel sick? I only cough when I think about it. But when I don't think about it, I don't feel sick. So I don't think I'm sick, but I could be because she has COVID. But it is different for everyone. If you got the kind that I got, you will know if you have COVID. It will hit you like a train.
So now, like, do you still have COVID now? Like, is that some? Okay.
I still have it. I had a call today because it's my last day of isolation. And because my symptoms are getting better and I'm not really sick anymore, they said I'm fine. My chance of passing it on is really low. Still, you know, be responsible and follow all the guidelines and things like that. But my impression of that call was if I was still sick, I would continue to have to isolate because the lady on the phone said, because your symptoms are getting better, you can leave. And because of the way she worded it, it made me believe that if I was still sick, I would have to stay home still, which makes sense. But apparently I'm not as contagious anymore. But I don't really work face to face with anyone at work anyways. I'm like in an office all by myself. So if everyone else is scared and they don't want to see me, I won't be offended. It's fine. I'm just excited to like not be in a one bedroom apartment for 13, 14 days. And it's like not that much in my life will change going back to our normal right now because we are like following guidelines really closely and carefully, but it's amazing how much you miss just that like 20 second interaction with a stranger at the grocery store or someone you walk past outside, just like hello and you smile and wave, or you know, you see a dog and you get to pet them. And yeah, I've watched about everything that there is on Netflix. I played a lot of video games. There's only so much of that you can do. And luckily I live with someone, so that kind of helped, especially after he was positive as well and we could cohabitate again. If I was living alone still, I think that would be really tough just to keep yourself occupied and not worry, because as much as other people who have been exposed could, you know, get in their heads and think, oh my gosh, is that a tickle? Is that a headache? Having COVID and knowing for sure that you have it, like laying in bed by myself all day and like watching TV shows or whatever, I'd just be like, do I have trouble breathing? Is that shortness of breath? Does my chest hurt? How much should it hurt before I call 911?
Yeah.
And you can like, you know, I'm sure you understand with cancer, you can go spiraling down into a really dark place going, oh my God, what if? There was one day where I freaked myself out a little bit and I didn't want to nap. I was worried to fall asleep because I was worried I wouldn't wake up, which is, it was a real fear, but I didn't have any trouble breathing. So that was just because, and I was so mad at the media too, like throughout this whole thing. Because as much as it's important to share information, I really feel like the way COVID has been presented is fear-based. Mm-hmm. And when you have COVID, thinking about all those things you've seen on the news or you've read online, like that was what put me in the downward spiral, was like, okay, like I'm young, I'm healthy, I don't feel super sick. But then it was like, oh my gosh. But then in the news, I saw that this woman who's 23 in this country, like, was fine one day, and then the next day she's in the hospital. Or this person who was in their 30s and had two kids, like, all of a sudden now they're on a ventilator. And I don't know. You just have to be careful with what you're consuming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And to do it in a responsible and thoughtful way, where it won't be anxiety inducing, especially right now. And something else I noticed, there's not a lot of resources online for people with COVID, which is interesting because so many people have had it. But Googling to try to find information for myself, like, can I still do laundry if I live in an apartment building and I'm positive for COVID-19? Oh. Nothing like that online. Or is it okay if I take out my trash to a shared, you know, trash site in an apartment building? Just most of my questions revolved around living in an apartment because I don't want to further expose anyone else who lives here. But as far as I found, like, there wasn't a lot of information that was geared to people currently having COVID.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was all like, don't get it. This is how you don't spread it. This is what not to do. Not like, okay, you have COVID, now what? Like, can you still order groceries?
Right, right.
Should you let your Skip the Dishes driver know that you have COVID and to not give it to you and just leave it at the front door? Like, just so many things. And
oh, wow, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Mommy Bonnie, if you're listening, we need a FAQ section on the ministry website.
Yeah, there needs to be like an infographic or a pamphlet or something. I'm sure there is, and I just didn't come across it.
You're pretty good with your research, Becca. I'm sure you would have.
Yeah, but in Vancouver, my age bracket still does not qualify for the vaccine yet, at least in my neighborhood. Some neighborhoods you can if they are COVID hotspots. So I've DIY'd the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
My body just made it itself.
There you go. There you go. Superpowers.
And according to one study, they think that I'll be immune for 5 to 7 months, but then some studies show that that's not true. So I still don't think they really know. But yes, I still have like people in my life who are family members who still don't want to get the vaccine and still don't really think that COVID is real now that I've had COVID, which that's interesting as well. I am pro-choice about the vaccine, at least right now. I don't know if that will change, but believing that it's real, I myself was one of those people like last year that I was all into the conspiracy theories. I was like, oh, the government's lying to us. There might be something out there, but it's not as bad as they're saying it is. Like, this is really a lot of trouble for something that's like the flu. You know, I was one of those people, and I was weary about getting the vaccine, and I didn't want to get it because, you know, it's like the mark of the beast, and Bill Gates is going to put microchips in us, and they're going to track us, and that's how they're going to like control our minds. Meanwhile, I have an iPhone I take with me everywhere. So if they want to know where I am, what I'm doing, they already know.
And I always, so people, cause I've got a few friends that are all very much into this, and I always ask them like, what is so interesting about your life that the government wants to know?
Yes.
Like, is there something that you're doing that I don't know about that is so interesting that the government wants this information?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like looking through our cameras and things. Like, most of the time we're just sitting on a couch.
Yeah.
Making food or like picking our nose.
Yeah.
I don't really think there's an FBI agent living in my phone
watching. No.
I'm pretty boring.
But I do agree with you, because at the beginning too, I refused to leave the United States. I was like, oh my God, the store shut down. That one in Vancouver was still open at that time. I was like, Becca's got that under control. I'm going to make videos. I'm going to do all this stuff that like is on my to-do list that I never have time to do. And I refused to leave because I'm like, this is going to blow over. This is not a big deal. This is people that have access to like 12 million followers on Instagram that, you know, are an influencer or a model making, you know, some sort of claim or their beliefs and scaring people. That's what I thought this was. And then, yeah. And then to have someone within the company, obviously I changed my mind after. But then like literally when you have someone, two of my friends got COVID in the US, and then you getting it, it's just like, it's been a whole other eye opener to it that it very much is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And it is very scary. And there could be, you know, there could be things that carry on in your future that can affect your health later. Like this is a big deal, right? I thought that it's been interesting because if I talk to people that are like my conspiracy friends or anti-maskers and stuff, or they're like, oh my God, I haven't like talked to you all week. What's going on? I'm like, oh, just been like a lot to do. Like Becca was out sick, and this was after you came out about it. And I was like, she had COVID. And they're like, oh, okay. And they don't want to discuss it. Because I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, no, I was like, just, you know, following up on stuff and doing two jobs. And she was out sick with COVID. And they're like, oh, okay. I was really surprised when we had a conversation with the team in Vegas, that I don't know, like there's a lot of anti-vacciners there. So I thought maybe that would, and not that I was forcing them to change their mind, but I thought like, oh wow, this is like happened in our own backyard now. Maybe this is something that you want to think about for your own health and benefit and stuff. You know, a lot of, you know, the employees that are not on a salary don't get paid to sit at home. There is no sick pay in the United States. Mm-hmm. So I was really surprised with their decision that, you know, the girls that don't want to get vaccinated are still like, nope, not going to do it. And we have come from a standpoint of we're not going to tell any female what to do with their bodies, especially women that work with us. Mm-hmm. So even though in the US, I could force them to do it. Mm-hmm. That is a thing down there. We're not going to do that because we respect people and we respect females, and whatever they choose to believe in, whatever they choose mm-hmm. to do is completely up to them. We'll just have to take some extra precautions to make sure that they're safe and clients are safe and the people that they see are safe. But mm-hmm. I really thought after them hearing your story, it might sway them, and it did not.
No. Which, fair enough, because if you do object to the vaccine for health reasons or religious reasons or just moral obligations, then really nothing should sway you. But it was interesting just seeing everyone's reaction. And, you know, by the time I was talking to them, like, I'm fine, I look normal, I don't look that sick, my energy is pretty good, like, I'm tired at the end of the day, but no one's talking to me then, so it's fine. So they're like, oh yeah, just like drink your water and get vitamin D and exercise and you'll be fine. It's like, yes, those are all good things to do just to keep your health and your immune system up in general. And I do a good job of doing all of those things. But really now having the virus and seeing how bad it was just for myself, who is a healthy young individual, it's not about me. It's about people who maybe are not able-bodied, people with elderly parents or family members. I have friends who are nurses or doctors, someone with pre-existing conditions, children, babies, pregnant women. Mm-hmm. It's about protecting them, because although I was fine, that's great news. I'm not going to die from this. Who knows what's going to happen to my lungs in the future, but I've already smoked enough cigarettes after a drunk night out to pose a risk to my lungs anyways. But it's really about protecting the vulnerable population. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the argument, like my dad, he hasn't gotten the vaccine yet, and I don't think he will, because he's a hardcore conspiracy guy, which is fine, and it's pretty funny talking to him. But his kind of thing with COVID is, oh, it's just a bad flu. And really the only people that die are people with pre-existing health conditions. Like, it's just natural selection. It sucks. It's sad, but it's Mother Nature. And I was just like, Dad, that doesn't mean that those people deserve to die.
Yeah.
If you have diabetes or you're overweight or you have a heart condition or whatever a pre-existing condition is that puts your body at a higher risk, cancer, you're going through chemotherapy, mm-hmm. anything that creates your immune system already being weakened, it doesn't mean that you deserve to die because I really want to sit on a beach with a margarita, you know?
Yeah.
It should cause no harm. So it's just interesting, like, listening to everyone, and everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And it is true. It's very confusing how the different governments are handling this. And we all have different ideas of how it should have been handled or could have been handled and what we would do differently. And maybe it is a big conspiracy theory. And in 5 years, we'll look back at this and we'll laugh and how mm-hmm. stupid we were. But have you ever been in a group project? Have you ever been in charge of 10 to 20 people and trying to get them to all do the same thing and keep the same secret and follow the rules and not leak this information and don't share that file, or, you know, keeping your password safe online? Like, if you've ever been in a position of leadership of more than like two or three people, even at that amount, do you really think that, like, entire governments with hundreds of thousands of people across the world could keep something under wraps, even with, like, say, mafia level violence trying to keep the message down and hidden? And, you know, mm-hmm. maybe this person came out and tried to warn us about this, and 2 months later they showed up dead. I feel like at this point, with the use of the internet especially, I just think we would know by now. And as soon as I started thinking about it that way, I've like come off the conspiracy train. I still think some things, but I don't know. It's not really about you.
Yeah.
Don't be selfish. It's about protecting other people. And like, could you just imagine living in India yeah. right now, or Palestine and Israel mm-hmm. and, you know, being so righteous
yeah.
in your belief. There's people who are righteous on both sides of the argument, right? Like anti-maskers, pro vaccine people. There's extremists on both sides and in the middle. But could you just imagine living in somewhere with like true hardship? Like in North America, yes, people are facing poverty, and yes, businesses are going out of business and it's affecting people's livelihoods. And that is a problem, and that's like systemic. Mm-hmm. But we don't have 300,000 people a day going to hospitals that barely are even hospitals to begin with, because yes. there are so many people in our country and they're getting sick, and we have so many elderly and we can't take care of them, and people are dying in the streets yeah. from COVID or from other things because they can't access a doctor because it's so flooded with COVID patients.
Yeah.
We're being in Israel and Palestine with what's happening over there right now, and having bombs and gas bombs dropped on you. Like, I'll take a poke in the arm. I'm just fine.
Well, and another thing that I kind of want to talk about with the whole like self-righteousness and things like that is I've got a girlfriend who works closely with people at the casinos. Mm-hmm. And the casinos in the US are offering incentives, and they don't have to because they can say, hey, you don't have a job tomorrow if you don't get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. But they're offering incentives by form of gift card or bonuses to get the vaccine. And we're talking like a, you know, maybe a $50 gift card or something. So for those people, and I don't know any specifically, but there definitely are those people out there that have taken that $50 gift card and been like, no, I'm against it. Oh, $50 Starbucks gift card? Poke me in the arm. I have a bit of a problem with that. Like, so again, going back to like putting something in your body that you're not really aware of. Like, how many of us have been in a club and possibly taken a drug or taken an Adderall from your girlfriend because you just like felt really sleepy that day, or, you know, smoked a pack of cigarettes, like you said, like after, like there's a lot of other shit that we've put in our body. Mm-hmm. That hasn't been proven or tested or safe or hasn't been prescribed to you specifically, mm-hmm. that could cause a reaction. So I just have this tough time with this, like, if you give me a gift card, I'll do it. No problem. When, like you said, there's people that are literally losing their lives and would love the opportunity to be able to have the choice to have the vaccine versus throwing vaccines out that are expiring because only, you know, 46%, I think it's 46% of Nevada is vaccinated right now. And I think they need to get to a 60% to go to full capacity. Mm-hmm. Right.
I have more like conspiracies about people who are like that than I do about the virus, because if it is a moral or religious or health obligation or whatever your reasoning is, nothing in the world, mm-hmm. or something really major should be the thing that sways you. And a gift card or inconvenience to go to a certain job, that's not like, find another job. There's lots of jobs. I'm sure there are businesses specifically catering to people that don't believe in the virus and are anti-maskers. And you can find a community everywhere. Maybe you have to move somewhere that has lower cost of living. Maybe you live in the forest and you do all your own gardening. But I just think it's, I draw a lot of similarities to how Christian and Catholic people can be with the Bible. I personally, and I've grown up religious, I'm baptized, so I feel like I can speak to this. I personally get really frustrated when people pick and choose what they'll believe in, and they're super righteous about it, but then they'll just like ignore everything else. And we're all human, we can't be perfect 100% of the time. But for example, with the Bible, like thinking that gay people is a sin, or getting tattoos is a sin, but they still cut their hair and wear mixed fibers and eat shellfish. Like, all of those things are in the same chapter and verse of the Bible, like two or three sentences apart from where it says man shall not lie with man. It says, you know, don't get a haircut, don't wear mixed fibers, don't eat this certain meat on this day of the week, don't eat shellfish. But you'll go to like an all-you-can-eat sushi buffet, but gay people can't get married because God said it's bad. I just can't get on board with that. So if you are not going to get the vaccine, just maybe really examine and reflect on why you feel that way. Is it because of what you've been told? Have you done your own research for both sides of the argument? I think that's the only way you can come to a conclusion, is you need to see what both parties say. And would anything in the world make you sway? If someone said, I'll give you $1 million to go get the COVID vaccine, would you do it?
Or 50 or $100. Or 100,000, like, is there a number on it that would make you sway? That's where I have a bit of a problem with it.
It's just, and with anything in life, not just COVID, any strong viewpoints you have, whether it's like religion or with taxes or ecological things like veganism or eating meat or driving a car versus, you know, riding a bike. Like, what, if anything, could sway your opinion? And just reflect on that, journal on it a little bit, just so that you know in your heart what your reasoning is behind your personal choice. Not that you need to explain it to anybody else, but just like for your own self to know your boundaries and where your moral compass stands, because we are lucky enough where, at least in North America, we live in an area that we have the ability to choose between a lot of our choices. So I think that's really great, and it makes us special that everyone is unique. But I think it still is up to us and our due diligence to make sure that we are using the power that we have and the freedoms that we do have with integrity and justice.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. So whether you're pro COVID or anti COVID, it is at least real. I can confirm that.
We know that now.
Not anything else, but I do know for sure it is real. And I was very sick. And quickly before we get off, I've just got some notes here. I don't know if you saw Luba, but Meghan Markle on May 10th, I think she did her first TV appearance since her Oprah interview with
Haley, okay,
which I know was pretty big. I didn't see that one, but I saw this.
So okay. Okay. So tell me,
because algorithm is going for me. They don't know me that well.
I saw the first one. I didn't see this one.
So Meghan Markle and Harry, the royals that have been excommunicated or whatever it is that happened there, I guess their campaign chairs for a global event called Global Citizen Vax. And it was a live concert, similar to what's happened in the past for the AIDS movement. And she went on TV and was basically saying that women are disproportionately affected by COVID-19 and especially women of color, which unfortunately is not surprising because women of color are the most, you know, hard done by in modern society for sure. So she said, women and especially women of color have seen a generation of economic gain wiped out. Since the pandemic began, nearly 5.5 million women have lost work in the US and 47 million more women around the world are expected to slip into extreme poverty. So she was encouraging people to get the vaccine and she is petitioning pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer and AstraZeneca and the companies that are coming out with the vaccines to remove the intellectual property claims so that it will be more widely accessible and any lab that has the capacity to produce this product can do so, which I think is really interesting. And however you stand on the vaccine, I just want to go into a little bit more because I didn't really consider how women would be disproportionately affected by COVID. So I did my own research because that's my favorite thing to do. And it was really quite shocking. And being that this is a podcast of all women and we speak from that standpoint a lot, I just wanted to share some information so that maybe we can all just be a little more kind to each other and understanding. So the UN reported that some of the ways that women are disproportionately affected by the pandemic as opposed to men are that women make up 70% of healthcare workers globally, which is more than I expected.
Yep, me too.
So structural inequalities faced by women healthcare workers are lack of PPE sized for women's bodies. So a lot of women that do work in healthcare, maybe their masks don't fit or the gowns that they have to wear don't fit because it's been designed for men. Underrepresentation in leadership, which is just across the board everywhere, unfortunately. Lower pay than men for similar occupation and same working hours. Again, that is not surprising, unfortunately. And on average, women do 3 times more unpaid care and domestic work prior to the pandemic. And since the pandemic, that has now increased because 70% of healthcare workers are women. So they're doing double duty, which is affecting them emotionally and physically. And the COVID pandemic posed an increase to the violence against women and girls in home, public spaces, and online spaces, with 243 million women and girls aged 15 to 49 experienced sexual and physical violence by an intimate partner in the last year. And that's just what's been reported. So maybe instead of arguing about whether or not the virus is real, we can just support other women and understand that they might be struggling through something even more hard than whatever we ourselves are struggling with. And to, I would encourage everyone, in light of these things that I've just read to you, do some research and see warning signs and ways that you could maybe recognize that someone is being abused or they're in an abusive relationship or they're being trafficked. and what you can do about it. Because if 243 million people in the world in the last year alone, only aged 15 to 49, and there's women all ages that get abused, have been abused in the past year alone that we know of, that number is actually far greater. So, you know, just be mindful of how you treat people on the street and in your circle with your friends, your family, your coworkers. And just be kind and keep your personal opinions to yourself, and don't be rude. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything
at all. There you go. Well, that is a wrap. Where can they find us?
You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Search Between Both Cheeks. If you are on an Apple device, you can give us a review, and that really helps the show. If you're in any other platform, you can just follow or subscribe so that every week our episodes get pushed to your inbox. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at Between Both Cheeks on Instagram. And we have a TikTok now. If you search Between Both Cheeks or Between Both Cheeks podcast, we should come up. We don't have much going on there right now, but it does exist. We're going to be working on it. And if you want to send us an email and share your thoughts, you can email us at comments@betweenbothcheeks.com. If you don't understand anything I just said and you're confused by technology, just go to betweenbothcheeks.com and you can listen to all of the episodes there. And it's super easy. You don't need any particular app or anything like that. So that is particularly for my mom. That's how you do it.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, thank you for all the stats and everything, Becca. I think that a lot of people didn't know all that stuff. I think that's really good. So thank you for sharing. Yeah. Thank you for listening. And until next week.
Goodbye. Stay safe.